Hi, everyone. I'm Maggie McGrath, the editor of Forbes Women, and today the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in yet another case that centers around abortion access. Joining us to break down exactly what happened in court is the president and CEO of the National Women's Law Center, Fatima Gosgraves. Fatima, thank you so much for joining us. You were sitting in the Supreme Court today listening to everything, so we know you've had a busy day, but you have a lot to tell us about what you observed.
That's right. I was really glad that I was able to be there and be inside the courtroom, because there is something, I think, special and different about hearing those questions in real time and seeing even the body language of the justices. I left really being reaffirmed in my deep belief that the Supreme Court must get this right. It must ensure that Idaho's extreme and cruel abortion ban is not upheld and does not continue.
So let's get into the specifics of the case, because it can seem a little wonky to people who just see the headlines, because at its heart, the Supreme Court was considering whether Idaho's near total abortion ban conflicts with a federal law that involves emergency abortion access. That's my kind of layman's summary of what happened today. Can you tell us what was argued today? What are the specifics of this case?
So I don't expect people to get into the weeds with me about, you know, the supremacy clause of the Constitution or things like that. But the court did talk a lot about federal and state relationship and the idea that if the federal government passes a law, a state can't just pass a law that conflicts and say we prevail, right? But we are actually one nation, and there are limits. And one of the big limits is that when federal and state law conflicts, the federal law prevails. But I don't think you need to be a lawyer to get the heart of this case. People in this country for decades have understood and expected that if you are in emergency, if you need emergency medical care, you can show up at a hospital and receive it. It doesn't matter who you are or really how much money you make or where you are in the country. Hospitals can't dump you or say, I don't want you here because it's inconvenient. And what Idaho has said is that, okay, everyone can have that emergency care except for pregnancy, except for people who are pregnant and are in need of emergency abortion care. So it directly conflicts with federal law, but it also really leaves patients and communities and providers in a terrible, terrible situation.
And in fact, we've been seeing headlines over the last few weeks about how some pregnant people have been turned away from emergency rooms in situations of distress. Is that because of laws like Idaho's?
That's right. Idaho, but there are six states who also have laws that are similar, that have such extreme abortion bans with narrow exceptions. The way the Idaho exception is written is that only in the imminent death of someone. So the way that has been interpreted by doctors on the ground is that they really have to believe this person is going to die before intervening and providing life-saving or health-saving emergency abortion care. And to make that a little bit more concrete, there are all sorts of conditions. You know, we love to tell ourselves the story that every pregnancy is routine with no problems, but the truth is about one in three people end up going to the hospital at some point during their pregnancy for care. And sometimes it is an emergency. Sometimes someone might have preeclampsia, and if you don't treat it, that can lead to other conditions like having a stroke. You might not die, but your health is not okay. Or you might, your water might break, which can lead to infections, and infections that can lead to your kidneys. Maybe you're on dialysis for the rest of your life. You didn't die, but your health is severely impacted. What the federal emergency laws have always said is that that life and health saving care is critical and must be provided. And Idaho and other states are saying it is up to us. We don't have to provide all of the care that the federal government says that you can. So it's cruel, but it also would upend the notion that we actually are in a single country. States can't just do whatever they want, no matter the cost to people in this country.
So that's the heart of this case. We have a federal law that says emergencies must be treated, medical emergencies must be treated. We have an Idaho near total abortion ban, and that puts those two laws in conflict. What happened in court today? What were the justices asking? And what did you learn from their questions?
You know, we all try to read the tea leaves from the justices' questions as best we can. And there are a few things that stood out. One, you know, Idaho made really extreme arguments that there was no way that preemption would apply. And I think none of the justices bought that the idea that Idaho could do whatever it wanted in any case. I don't think any justice bought that. Idaho then started backtracking a little bit and suggesting there was no conflict, that Idaho law was basically the same as federal law. But if that was the case, everyone kept asking, why are we here? So it is clear that Idaho would like to have its case and eat it, cake and eat it too. And I don't know that it will get there. So that will be the question. If Idaho is there trying to say that there is no conflict and they would provide all of the life and health saving care that is required, I'm not sure there were a lot of justices that totally bought into the argument. The thing that was most notable to me, though, was the way several of the justices continued to make clear what an emergency looked like, what a medical emergency would look like for someone who was pregnant. Because I don't think the public has the level of awareness. And Idaho was really trying to use very generic language that sort of suggested it's no big deal. It's a pretty big deal if your life might be in jeopardy. It's a pretty big deal if you find yourself with sepsis. It's a pretty big deal if you might, as a result of not getting care, lose your reproductive organs. Those are the types of stories that we have seen pop up around the country in the wake of the Dobbs decision. And if the Idaho ban is allowed to continue to be into effect, it will only lead more and more states to accelerate these really cruel laws. Right now in Idaho, they're having to helicopter people out of the state to get care. That's not care at all.
You said that there were questions around defining what an emergency is. And I'm wondering, as we look at the bench, we have male justices and female justices. Some of those female justices have children. I'm wondering, did you notice a gender divide in how the justices approached this issue and asked their questions?
Well, from the moment Idaho began to present its case, one of the things that was noticeable was the early questioning, and you know, you might call it a hot bench, was coming from justices Jackson, Kagan, and Sotomayor. They were very clear and sharp around it. I thought it was important not to erase the really serious patient experience, and so I think people are noting that. I think people are also noting that Justice Barrett was also really pushing the Idaho solicitor to be more specific about whether the range of care that EMTALA, the federal statute, would require would be available under Idaho law. He kept jumping back and forth, and I think she wanted to hear that the range of life-saving care would actually be available. You saw a more restraint from many of the male justices, and I think that was noted. I think it was really noted, though, frankly, that Justice Alito in particular seemed kind of unconcerned about the harm that is occurring around the country. Every person I talk to, when I tell them that this is even a case before the Supreme Court, especially those who have had pregnancies, they are stunned. They remember how much we feared having those types of outcomes. You know, the idea that you couldn't guarantee that you would get care at a hospital if you would need it is really terrifying to most people I know who've been pregnant. And so this sort of like yada, yada, yada disregard that you saw from, you know, at least one of the justices, I actually think it was really telling and pointed. It was noticed.
You're talking right now, and it's reminding me that earlier this month we observed Black Maternal Health Week, and talking about motherhood mortality in this country, and particularly for Black mothers who have a higher rate, a higher mortality rate when giving birth in this country. So there's been a lot of discussion in women's spaces around how safe are pregnant people, how can we make sure more mothers don't have severe complications in delivering their child. I'm just wondering, how aware do you think these justices are about the real lived experiences, the real lived healthcare experiences of women in this country?
It matters. I was thinking about how often people are able to hear from folks who have really powerful stories to tell about their own pregnancy story. You know, stories of almost losing their lives, of finding themselves in the ICU. We should be focused on improving the care and addressing the maternal mortality rate that for Black women and Indigenous women in particular is so sky high. And instead, we find ourselves in this place where many of the same states that have passed the most harsh and most cruel and most extreme abortion bans also have the highest maternal mortality rates. And so that this is an agenda that puts at the center those women who have those experiences. I talk to so many Black women who are pregnant or planning a pregnancy journey, and honestly, they talk about the fear they have about what will happen to them, about whether their lives and their health will be okay. That's a story that we actually need to spend more time on so we could focus on solutions there. And the idea that we had to actually spend a day at the Supreme Court debating whether or not Idaho could just worsen the lives and experiences of people in its own state. Idaho has a very large indigenous population. They have very high maternal mortality rates. It is really distressing.
So oral arguments happen today. What happens next? What will you be watching for?
So you never know when the Supreme Court decision will fall. Most people wait around in June or refreshing the button for on decision days. But between now and then, one of our really important tasks is to make sure that people know about this case. Many people haven't been following it, in part because it came up fast and we didn't expect the court to take it this term. I want to make sure that people understand what is at stake, understand the cost of these abortion bans, and are watching and waiting and ready to react no matter the Supreme Court decision.
Now, I know we can't read the tea leaves, but let's go through the various scenarios. Obviously, some cases are dismissed on standing, and we heard some speculation that another abortion case on around Mifepristone might be dismissed on standing. We're still waiting on that. Then there's the situation where the court rules in favor of Idaho. So let's start there. If the court rules in favor of the state of Idaho, what does that mean for the people of Idaho? And part two, what does that mean for people outside of Idaho?
Well, so if the court rules in favor of Idaho, it will mean that Idaho's extreme abortion ban is allowed to stand. I hope that's not the case. There may be a narrow question around how to interpret its extreme abortion ban. Today, the Idaho solicitor was suggesting that Idaho's abortion ban would meet all of the conditions that the federal government that the Solicitor General was naming were of concern. I'm not sure that's actually right. He sort of went back and forth about how true that would be in practice, but I imagine that many of us would say, okay, you said that it would cover all of these conditions that that our federal emergency laws would require. We're going to hold you to it. I also just think if Idaho prevails, it will only accelerate similar copycat laws around the country. And that would be devastating. It is one thing to have six states in the level of crisis that we have right now, but to expand that, where you're having to, again, helicopter people out of the state of Idaho right now to make sure they get emergency care. There's no question that in some cases, abortion is the only care that can actually save the health and life of these patients. So what's happening now in Idaho is they're literally being airlifted out. That is not care at all.
And so if in June or whenever the decision comes down, the court rules against Idaho, what happens then for people in Idaho and their access to reproductive care?
It's my deep hope that that is what the court will find. And if that happens, then Idaho's extreme ban will not be allowed to go into effect. I don't think that will, you know, end the matter for the people of Idaho. I do think anti-abortion extremists there and in so many places are determined to end abortion access. So I imagine that we will again be fighting back against an abortion ban, but the court will have articulated limits and the court will have said and reminded not just Idaho, but states around the country that the longstanding federal law that requires emergency abortion care, that requires emergency medical care of all sorts, preempts these extreme state laws.
How, and again, this is more tea leaf reading, but how do you think this case will affect, if at all, the election in November? Will this galvanize voters in any way, do you think?
Well, it is just another reminder that this case and the Mifepristone case and the states around the country that are racing to ban abortion, this is a part of a broader agenda. And I do believe people are paying attention. They understand that this isn't some isolated incident or just a one-off. I think no matter the court's outcome, frankly, people are aware that we are within an inch in any given year of having more and more devastating outcomes. That's a direct result of the Supreme Court's decision just 2 years ago. And it is deeply unpopular. It is not what people in this country are calling for. So I do think it will play into the election.
Any final thoughts on what you observed today, either inside the courtroom, outside the courtroom? I saw some photos of, as usual, people with posters and protesting, all the different sides. Final thoughts from your observations today.
My final thought is when I walked outside the courtroom, what I actually saw was joy and optimism. I saw perseverance. I saw activists who were very clear that in their minds, it was their duty to keep people safe and they would fight for abortion access always. That was a beautiful thing to see.
Fatima, thank you so, so much for joining us today. We know you've had a very busy day, but we so appreciate your observations and insights.
Thanks so much. Take care.